But the spiritual food we receive here at the feast and all during the year through sermons, Bible studies, and prayer supplies each one of us with enough power supply spiritually to keep our lights shining brightly as they should. And that's the title of my message today, is The Light. And we are the light. We are the light and the hope of the world, brethren. As we look at what this feast represents and what it means and what it symbolizes, a world free of sin, a world free of darkness, and a world that we all look forward to. But we're not there yet. And I appreciated the sermonette because we're preparing for this time. Every day we prepare for this time. To actually be here. Let's turn, if you would with me, turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5 helps us to understand our role a little bit more. Ephesians chapter 5, beginning in verse 8. It says, "For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, proving what is acceptable to the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light, for whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore, he says, awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light." And we depend on Jesus Christ to keep our light shining on the path to the kingdom of God. If we think about all of the negative things that are going on in the world, the negative things we hear and see each day as we go to school or we go to work, we go out to the supermarket. We go to the store. Out to dinner. Hearing so many negative conversations between people. People are stressed. People are tired. People are worn out. They don't know what to do in many cases. They are doing exactly what they're hearing and seeing all around them in a world that is negative. So they find themselves lashing out with words or actions towards others for no reason. The news media is so biased based on their political beliefs. The news we get today is tainted. Our political leaders mislead us with the information they share. The world's medical experts continue to give confusing instruction on how to protect ourselves. Think about that. The information we're getting to protect ourselves from a deadly virus is misleading and confusing. We hear more and more that if someone mentions God, talks about religion, people get offended. They don't want to hear about that. They don't want to hear about God's plan. Our educational leaders want to teach our children things that are in conflict with God's way. The curriculum in our schools is being changed, many times without the permission or the knowledge of the parents. Proverbs 14:12 tells us that there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. Certainly, a warning for us to think about what we do and what we say. Does it please God? Would God approve? God has called us to a different way of life than the world is living. A different way of doing things, and He has opened our minds to take in the light that He projects in a very, very dark world. Let's take a quick look at that source of that light that guides us and keeps us from getting lost or keeps us from getting hurt in this dark world. Let's turn to John chapter 1, it gives us an indication of what that light is, describes that light. John 1 and verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Jesus Christ came to a world that was very dark. It didn't comprehend what He was doing, what His purpose was, what the gospel message was He brought. Instead, they did everything they could to stop it. This light is there for all the world to see, and they refuse to see it, because right now the whole world is deceived by a dark spiritual being. So we read in Revelation 12:9, the whole world is deceived and going on their own path. But what makes our light continue to shine bright? As a witness, first of all, for our families. As parents, as grandparents, we have an obligation to set the correct example for our children and grandchildren. We want them to follow in our footsteps and keep God's way of life. And we have a big responsibility, because we have to lead them down that path. We have to have the right priorities. We have to have godly love for our children. And they need to see that. The sad thing about children is they know us. They know their parents very well. We can't fool them. I remember when our kids used to go to SEP, the summer camp they used to have. And we loved for them to go, but we hated for them to come home, because we knew when they come home, they were going to take us apart. Mom, Dad, you're not doing that right. You're not supposed to do that way. And that was a good thing once we got our act together. But we had to be an example for them. And that certainly isn't an easy thing to do. But we have to keep that light shining bright for our families, for our mates, our spouses, our siblings, our neighbors, our co-workers. Because that's what God expects. He's given us a commission. He's given us something to do. What we say or do can determine how bright our light is shining for someone else. The example we set. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 5, if you would. Matthew chapter 5. And in verse 14. Talking about you and I here. Matthew 5 and verse 14. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, that it gives light to all who are in the house. Our light, brethren, should be shining wherever we are, whatever we're doing, because we represent the Creator God, our Heavenly Father, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We represent them. The Apostle Paul helps us to better understand this a little more in his first letter to the Thessalonians. Let's turn to 1 Thessalonians. And I read this and I just think, could that be written about our local congregation, wherever that may be, as a group of God's people, as members of the body of Jesus Christ? Could this be said about us as well? Because these followers of Jesus Christ certainly let their light shine. 1 Thessalonians 1 and verse 1, it says, Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy, to the church of Thessalonians in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Then it gets into a little detail here. It says, we give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith, labor of love and patience in the hope of our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of our God and Father, knowing, beloved brethren, your election by God. In verse 5, for our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and in much assurance, as you know what kind of men we were among you for your sake. And you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Spirit, so that you became examples in all Macedonia and Achaia who believe. And from you the word of the Lord has sounded forth, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith toward God has gone out so that we do not need to say anything. What can you say? Their light says everything, the way they live their life. People see that. They look at that. Nothing needs to be said. For they themselves declare concerning us what manner of entry we had to you and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. A congregation, a group of people letting their light shine by their speech, by what they're doing. This congregation of believers and followers of Christ, through their speech and actions, allowed others to see their light and that Jesus Christ was working through them. Proverbs 13:9 tells us, the light of the righteous rejoice, but the lamp of the wicked will be put out. Very important. Proverbs 22:6 again. As parents, train up a child in the way that he should go. When he's old, he won't depart. If we as parents, grandparents, allow our light to shine, we give our children and grandchildren something to look at, something to follow, something to be proud of as they see their parents obeying God and living God's way. Without the light of Christ, and because the darkness of this world, you and I, even God's elect, could stray from the path that leads us to the kingdom. And we heard in the sermonette, the world that was going on back in Lot's day, what was taking place, had influence on people. All of the glitter and shiny things and fun and all of these other things going on that got people's attention. What's the harm? No damage. I'll just ride the edge here a little bit. I won't completely go off the path, maybe 1 foot. But I'll stay focused. Brethren, that can happen in the twinkling of an eye to any one of us if we allow our light to fade. Can happen quickly. Matthew 7, if you turn there with me, Matthew 7. Again, very familiar verses here, but verses we need to think about because they're so important, especially to God's people. Matthew 7 and verse 13. Enter the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in it. The good times, the fun times, the do what I want times, if it feels good, do it times. That's the world we live in today. But it goes on in verse 14, because narrow, and we know that, as being church members. Sometimes it's very difficult to stay focused and to stay on that very narrow path. But it says, because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. It's become more and more difficult for even God's people to keep our batteries charged. We start to wind down. I'll pray tomorrow. I'll do this next week. But we know, brethren, from going through those things, tomorrow never comes. Next week never comes. Because we get used to it. We accept our light growing dimmer and dimmer. But we can't do that. There are so many distractions, and God's people face these distractions on a daily basis. God gives us all of the help that we need. He's there for us every day. And if we look at Ephesians 6, if you turn over there, please, Ephesians chapter 6, God provides that help. We were at the Ark yesterday, and one of the gentlemen that was with us rode the camel. And we're taking the video back home to share it. But the first thing they did was put a helmet on him for his protection. So if he happened to fall off, he would have protection for his head. God gives us protection, brethren. So if we happen to get off the path a little bit, and we happen to fall down, we have that protection. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 6, beginning in verse 10. Ephesians 6, beginning in verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And we read these verses, we heard these verses for years. But brethren, think about the day we live in today. We see what's going on. We see these powers. Because a lot of things that are going on are beyond human reasoning. And who's behind it when it's beyond human reasoning? We all know that Satan is powerful. Satan wants to destroy anything and everything of God. And we witness what's going on because it makes no sense other than there is a power, spirit being behind it. And we go on and read, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, as we're seeing, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age against the spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. And here comes the help. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplications in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplications for all the saints. Keep our light shining bright so we can see what's out there. We're not taken by surprise. We know what we're dealing with because we can see it. We can identify it. And we're not taken from the side or ambushed because we know what's going on. This Feast of Tabernacles is a time to come before God and rejoice. And we do, because this is what's going to be taking place in a new world. When Jesus Christ brings God's government and sets it up, a government of light, government of love, and brings it to this world, when we were called to understand the truth of God, we really realize the difference between right and wrong. We may have thought we knew, but as God called us and opened our minds and gave us His Holy Spirit, we really started to realize, what is that? What is the difference between right and wrong? With the values of the world changing so rapidly, people are worried. Church members are worried about the future, as we should be. But brethren, we should be relying on God to get us through. We should be relying on each other to get us through. This past year, you may have heard on the news, may have seen little clips of it, and that's all I really saw. But as the 2021 session of Congress closed in prayer, the prayer was presented to a pagan god and ended with the words, "Amen," and "a woman." Shameful, brethren. Shameful. But that's the leadership in our world today. And I don't recall anything being said about seeking God's guidance, asking Him to watch over our elected government leaders, watch over our country. Nothing was said about that. I was looking in some of the older magazines, and one of the past good news articles by Mr. Gerald Ost, titled "Light in an Age of Confusion." And in this article, he shared a prayer from a Wichita, Kansas church pastor. Some of you may remember reading this article. Pastor Mr. Joe Wright. And this pastor had given this at the opening of the Kansas State Legislature. And I want to read that prayer to you and share that with you, so you can see how times have changed, how the light has begun to dim quickly on our country. And his prayer went like this as he opened the Congress. Heavenly Father, we come before you today to ask your forgiveness and to seek your direction and guidance. We know your word says woe to those who call evil good, But that's exactly what we have done. We've lost our spiritual equilibrium and inverted our values. We confess that we have ridiculed the absolute truth of your word in the name of moral pluralism. We have worshiped other gods and called it multiculturalism. We have endorsed perversion and called it an alternate lifestyle. We have exploited the poor and called it a lottery. We have neglected the needy and called it self-preservation. We have rewarded laziness and called it welfare. In the name of choice, we have killed our unborn. In the name of right to life, we have killed abortionists. We have neglected to discipline our children and called it building esteem. We have abused power and called it political savvy. We have coveted our neighbor's possessions and called it taxes. We have polluted the air with profanity and pornography and called it freedom of expression. We have ridiculed the time-honored values of our forefathers and called it enlightenment. He goes on, "Search us, O God, and know our hearts today. Try us and show us any wickedness in us. Cleanse us from every sin and set us free. Guide and bless these men and women who have been sent here by the people of Kansas and who have been ordained by you to govern this great state. Grant them your wisdom to rule, and may their decisions direct us to the center of your will. I ask it in the name of your Son, the living Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen." Asking God to be involved, asking God for guidance and leadership. Mr. Ross wrote this article in 1996. Times have changed. That prayer would not be allowed in the houses of our government today. Values continue to decline among people not only in America but all around the world. The light for human beings to find their way is growing dimmer and dimmer with each passing day. But this isn't really anything new. This has gone on for a long time. Things are going good. Everybody's happy because they're allowed to do their own thing. But we don't want to get God involved. God's a burden. Takes our fun, our joy, our freedoms. Israel set an example for you and I to learn from. And each new outbreak of disobedience grew more serious and more debased as they continued to want to do things their own way. Let's turn back to the book of Judges, if you would. Just to see an example of this. Judges chapter 2. And in verse 11, Joshua had led the Israelites, had set an example, had explained what God wanted from them, gave them direction, and many times they followed that direction and they did okay. But then they would get off that path. The light would dim just enough for them to get off that path and lose their way and want to do things their own way. In verse 11, Judges chapter 2 and verse 11, it says, "Then the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served the Baal," served these pagan gods. "And they forsook the Lord God of their fathers who had brought them out of the land of Egypt. and they followed other gods from among the gods of the people who were all around them, and they bowed down to them, and they provoked the Lord to anger, wanting to do things their own way, wanting to have that fun. Looks good, feels good, so we're going to do it. And in verse 16, it says, then the Lord raised up judges who delivered them out of the hand of those who plundered them. God still provided leadership, still having that desire to work with them and help them and show them the right path. In verse 17, yet they would not listen to their judges, but they played the harlot with other gods and bowed down to them. They turned quickly from the way in which their fathers walked in obeying the commandments of the Lord. They did not do so. And in verse 19, and it came to pass when the judge was dead, that they reverted and behaved more corruptly than their fathers by following other gods to serve them and bow down to them. They did not cease from their own doings, nor from their stubborn way. They wanted to do things their way after all that God had provided. And we look at our lives, brethren. We know our situations. What has God provided for you? What has God provided for me? So much. So much. How can we thank Him enough for what He's done for us? We can thank Him by leaving our light on bright, by obeying Him, by following His way and not our own. God was saying the same thing to Israel as our parents used to say things to us. And I don't know, I couldn't count the times I heard this. You probably heard it too. I wanted to do something. My parents would say, if you do it our way, it's going to work. If you do it your way, you're going to fail. How many times did we fail before we got smart enough to listen? And we realized one day, as we all did as teenagers, we got to that one point in our lives where we realized just how smart our mom and dads were. What a shock. They're really smarter than me. But we learned that. And we have to learn that God is smarter than we are. Because He is. He always will be. Judges 21 and 25 says, in those days there was no king in Israel, and everyone did what was right in his own mind. Everybody doing their own thing. And we know that doesn't work. It just doesn't work, brethren. God has given us these feast days. Where would we be without the Feast of Tabernacles? Where would we be without the holy days? That understanding that God has blessed us with, that helps us to keep our light shining bright, to keep us living a life that directs us toward the kingdom of God. And again, as parents and grandparents, living a light that sets the example for our children and grandchildren to follow God's way. God long ago gave Israel instruction how to let their light shine. Many times they ignored Him. He provided all of their needs. Didn't matter. He fed them, clothed them, gave them everything they needed. Didn't matter. Let's turn to Exodus 34. Exodus 34. Exodus 34. Exodus 34 and verse 10. Exodus 34 and verse 10. I wonder sometimes with Moses, you know, Moses was given the responsibility as the leader. And how many times he was so frustrated because he gave everything he had to lead God's people. And yet, many times they chose not to follow him. But in verse 10 it says, "And he said, Behold, I make a covenant before all your people." God telling this to Moses. This covenant God wanted. This agreement, this contract with God's people, with the Israelites. And it goes on, it says, "Before all your people I will do marvels, such as have not been done in all the earth, nor in any nation. And all the people among you who shall see the work of the Lord, for it is an awesome thing that I will do for you." Verse 11, "Observe what I command you this day. Behold, I am driving out from before you the Amorite and the Canaanite and the Hittite and the Perizzite and the Hivite and the Jebusite. I'm giving you this promised land. I'm going to do wonderful things that will knock your socks off that you've never seen. Because I love you. I desire to do these things for you." And if Israel would have kept their end of the agreement, their light could not have dimmed in any way. Would have always been bright. And would have kept them on the path to the promised land. Without question. Been like an airport runway just lit up, waiting for them to walk in. Take what God had to offer. Not long ago, many things were not acceptable in our country and many countries around the world. Abortion, not acceptable. Same-sex marriage, not acceptable. All religious beliefs will get you to heaven. Not acceptable. Gender choice wasn't acceptable. Minimizing the importance of God, unacceptable. Today, those are the headlines. Groups protesting, marching for rights to do all of these things. They look at it as freedom. Right values based on God's way of doing things are fading away fast. You know, growing up in a small town of about 1,200 people, as I think back on it, didn't pay too much attention when I was growing up, but people were just friendly. People were friendly. Everybody you see, "Hey, morning, how you doing?" Whatever. Men and boys would stand when a lady came into the room. Boys would stand when they were being introduced to a lady, or even a man. I remember one of the schools I worked for, it was an alternative school, and the principal was meeting a mother and her son. They were going to enroll the son, and the son and mother were sitting on a bench in the hallway, and the principal went out there and introduced himself to the mother, and he reached his hand over to introduce himself to the young man, and the young man just sat there, and the principal said, "When you're introduced to a man, you stand up." Kid jumped up. That's the way things were done. Men would hold the door for a lady. Let them go through first. Just being polite. And even though me and some of my friends weren't the most mannered bunch, we saw that worked. That worked. Let's just do that. So we did, not perfectly, not all the time, but we did. But our teachers, and many of you I'm sure remember back to the day, our teachers were called Mr., Mrs., or Miss. Men teachers wore suits. The lady teachers wore dresses. And they did it because they respected themselves and the position they had as teachers. They were setting that example. They were letting their light shine as a professional teacher. And any time, if any of them are even still alive, when I see one of those teachers, they are Mr., Miss., Mrs., because that's how I was taught and that's how I remember it. Those days are gone. School teachers taught children reading, writing, and arithmetic. Parents taught children right values, godly values. That was their responsibility. That was their job. I really didn't like school. So glad it was over. So then when I went back, I ended up employed by the school systems for over 30 years. I was confused, okay? But things had changed. Since I left school till I went back, things had changed big time. Couldn't tell the students from the teachers because the teachers wanted to be accepted in the way they dressed and the way they talked and the way they taught. No dress codes. Some school districts, and this goes way back before any gender issue, but they were progressive school districts, had bathrooms, same bathrooms for the boys and girls. Couldn't figure that one out, but that's the way they did it. Students called teachers by their first names. Teachers were dressing in a way that they looked cool and could be accepted. Satan has done a very good job by destroying the foundation of not only the solid, grounded family, but the world. We have instructions, brethren. God has given us instruction as parents, as grandparents, as members of the body of Jesus Christ. Let's turn to Deuteronomy chapter 6. We're all familiar with this, but it's always good to read because we need that reminder. We need that reminder of how important God's truth is and that we need to pass it down. We need to share it. We need to educate and continue to give our children and grandchildren good, godly, true values that they can live by. Deuteronomy 6, beginning in verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart, and you shall teach them diligently to your children. And shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. If we do this, if we follow these instructions, our lights will be shining bright. If we have the right values and live by them, and that's not the easiest thing to do, especially in a world filled with people who want to live life doing what they think is right. And it's going to be so amazing in the world tomorrow in God's kingdom when we all think alike. No disagreements on what's right and what's wrong. God has called you and me out of this world, given us the gift of His Holy Spirit to keep us bright, shining lights. How badly does the world need that today, brethren? They really don't know it yet, but one day they will. When the millennium begins and all of these people that have been hurt and are in pain, who are confused, don't know what to do, where to go, we'll be there, shining like a big beam of light. Come this way. We'll help you. We've been in that darkness, but we're going to help you. And we're going to bring you into the light that Jesus Christ brought us into. And when you think about this feast and what it represents and what a time and what a change for the world, coming out of darkness into the light. Brethren, we're so blessed. We have such a loving God. And I probably have read Romans 12 more than any. I don't know, this, you know, sometimes you have scriptures that just, I need to read that again. I need to read that again because it helps me to stay focused, helps keep me on the path. Let's turn to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. These scriptures are so meaningful, especially in this day and time, brethren, and we have to take them seriously. We can't just read them. We've got to take them in into our hearts and minds so that we're here next year, so that we're going back home and we're thinking about springtime. We're thinking about the Passover and the days of unleavened bread so we can begin this all over again. In Romans 12 and in verse 1, I beseech you, Paul says, I'm begging you. I'm trying to get your attention. Please listen. You therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not, under any circumstances, be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Keep that light shining bright. We know it's not going to get any better. The world's not going to automatically do a flip-flop, and things are going to get better. But we know that our loving Creator God never changes, the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. His love will never change for you and I and for His creation. So let's take what we get at this feast, this spiritual food. Let's look at the family atmosphere that we have here, an example of what we're going to have in the world tomorrow. Let's look at it for what it is and how precious it is for each one of us. Let's keep our lights burning bright. We don't want them to go dim. We don't want to fall off that path that will lead us into the kingdom of God.